635.
Amend contract with Taser International, Inc. to extend the term and amend the not-to-exceed amount to purchase the new Taser model for an estimated $1,790,000.
Okay. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon. Oh, sorry, Bob. Mr. Mayor, Commissioners, I'm Brian Parman. I'm the captain of the training division for the Police Bureau. We're here today to talk about amending the Police Bureau's existing contract with Taser International. As just a little bit of background, the current model of Taser has been in use here in the city of Portland since 2005, and over the course of those years, we've been able to put a Taser out to all uniformed patrol members and make it mandatory for them to carry. We were notified last year that Taser was going to discontinue the current model of Taser, so the Police Bureau now needs to move and transition to a new piece of equipment. Out of, we believe, a need to train and transition in a very systematic way, the Police Bureau is proposing this amendment, which would allow it would do two things. One, it would raise the dollar limit on the existing contract to accommodate the purchase of the equipment, and it would remove the not-to-exceed annual spending limit. It's important to note that in no way gives us the ability to exceed the total contract amount. What it does is it allows the Police Bureau, within its own resources, to buy Tasers in a way that makes the most sense for the transition rather than being bound by a spending limit with any one calendar year. We have been testing two different models for nearly 12 months now, and we're very close to having a final decision, but this increase will accommodate either model if selected.
Great. Anything to add? Okay. Questions? And Parmenter. Thank you both. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Anyone want to speak on this item?
We have three people signed up. Dan Handelman, Max White, and Shedrick J. Wilkins. Please come on up.
Good afternoon. Just push the button there, Dan, on the base of that. There you go.
Okay. Good afternoon, Mayor Hales and council members. I'm Dan Handelman with Portland Cop Watch. First of all, Portland Cop Watch members attend meetings of the CRC, COAB, Training Advisory Council, and CPRC and follow these issues closely, but we've never heard the police say that their current tasers are malfunctioning and need to be replaced. It's really not clear why the Bureau needs to replace all the tasers since the cartridges made for the new X26P model also fit the current X26 model that officers carry. Secondly, although there is a budget windfall, it seems a shame to be pouring more money into electroshock devices, which have been called instruments of torture by the UN Committee on Torture, when so many people have no place to live and our streets are crumbling. When Portland first got tasers in 2002, they were touted as an alternative to deadly force. Once all the officers were armed with the weapons, they were used some 800 times per year. Thankfully, that number is now down to under 100 times per year. But the Portland police engage in shootings 4 to 6 times per year, down from 6 to 10 times previously. In other words, at best, 6 of the taser uses are alternatives to deadly force, and the rest are, well, one of the reasons the Department of Justice called out the Portland for its taser use. We hear this is better than being hit with a baton or being shot, but that's like being asked whether you want to be hit over the head with a lead pipe or a wooden plank. I don't want to be hit over the head at all. Amnesty International said that as of early 2013, at least 540 people in North America had died after being hit with tasers. Even though the manufacturer swears by the weapon's safety, in 2005, the company's previous claim that tasers have never been linked to a death is now that tasers have never been cited as, quote, the sole cause of death. In 2008, after losing their first product liability lawsuit, Taser International added a new warning. When possible, avoiding chest shots with electronic control devices avoids the controversy about whether stun guns do or do not affect the human heart. In 2014, the UN Committee Against Torture said it was appalled at the number of reported deaths that followed the use of stun guns, and it recommended that weapons be used exclusively in extreme and limited situations and be banned for use on children and pregnant women. And that's a direct quote from their from a report about their meeting. Here in Portland, Aaron Palafos's healthy 50-pound pit bull died after being subjected to multiple taserings on June 5, 2005. Timothy Grant died on March 20, 2006 after being hit with a taser after he was allegedly jumping in and out of traffic. While it's not conclusive that the weapons led to the deaths of James Chassie or Keaton Otis, officers did use the 50,000-volt devices on both men. with three officers hitting Otis simultaneously. And Officer Sean Maycomber melted his taser when repeatedly using it on the mortally wounded body of James Jahar Perez. Like the flashbangs that have been used at a few protests now, upping the Bureau's weaponry is a symptom of the militarization the country finally started noticing after Ferguson. But soldiers don't even carry tasers on the battlefield. Also, like the flashbangs introduction, the proposal to maybe upgrade the tasers is being done without a serious public discussion. We urge council to at best leave the contract as it is, and if possible, find less harmful alternatives instead. And just as a side note, the Taser International itself calls them conducted energy weapons and not electronic control weapons, so it's not clear why the DOJ and the Bureau use that term, which implies they're used for control rather than defense of an officer who feels his or her life or the life of another is in danger.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Good afternoon.
Yeah, I agree. I'm Shedrick Wilkins. I think it's an electronic torture device. Why don't you give people shock treatments? I mean, I've seen when they use these things, you have to be within 5 or 10 feet, and they're shocking on the ground. I think the standard policy in some sort of situation with a violent person is to shoot them in the knee or the leg, and then have another officer point the weapon at the head. Ultimately, if you can't stop a person, shocking doesn't do any good. You have to basically take them out, and that's just the way it is. It's just a when it comes on the news, it looks like people here in Portland are shocking people, and this is some sort of deterrent, right? It's not necessary, and like, say, a handgun is basically shoot the leg, a person gets in pain, and then basically stop them by the implication of deadly force.
Thank you. Welcome.
Hi. I got here late, so I hope I'm not off the mark, but I read the documents and...
Just put your name in the record, Trudy.
Oh, I'm sorry. Trudy Cooper. I live in Elliott neighborhood of Portland. My question is, I looked over the materials and I concluded that it is to renew a contract at a higher price for a product that I think is questionable in the first place. But in the context of a move toward relationship-based policing, earlier known as community-based policing, which I understand the chief wants to move toward, I'm wondering why wouldn't we also recontextualize the level of use of tasers? I'm wondering if they're needed at the same level that we've had with a police force that's embedded more in the community, more knowledgeable about the community. I'd like, at some point, I hope to hear a response to this, because if community policing doesn't reduce the use of force incidents, then what is it intended to do? And second, I don't know what has been said so far. I'm sorry I wasn't able to be here for work reasons until now. But what's the impact this new product will have on the directives regarding their use? And might it, in light of the settlement agreement, it seems like police are to use them when there's a situation of genuine danger. I don't think that's always what we see. Sometimes it's the convenience of being able to arrest someone. And third, I'm not supporting a ban on tasers, though many in this country are doing so for the reasons that Dan was outlining. But tasers are certainly preferable to bullets, since by policy, my understanding is that officers are required to shoot for the largest part of the body, the torso. So if there's no other alternative, then certainly we would want to have tasers if there's no other alternative to that. So I hope that we're going to see an analysis or a rationale for how the use of guns and tasers can be reduced as we move more towards community-based policing and community-controlled policing. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Anyone else want to speak on this item? So, Captain Parman, come back up for a second if you can.
You have a question.
I have a question. To the point about the necessity to make this change as opposed to it being an option.
Right. Okay, so just to talk a little bit about that, you know, the majority of the tasers that are carried by the police bureau, probably close to 75% or 80% of them are outside of the warranty period. Taser will no longer service our existing equipment, so as models stop functioning, they cannot be replaced, or they have to be replaced with one of the two new models. I think the rationale behind transitioning in larger batches is it makes the training and the transition, it allows us to structure that in a deliberate way that makes the most sense for our officers to avoid having multiple types of tasers. There are some slight functional differences just in the mechanics of the taser, not the internal workings of it. It's not more powerful than the previous model, but it will allow us to, as I said, it allow us to purchase in batches large enough to train officers in a way that makes sense.
Other questions, Captain Parman?
So the current contract has a limit of $250,000 per year.
Correct.
I understand the rationale for taking away the per year because you can buy them in larger batches if you wanted to do that, but it seems then that the $2.3 million is more. Actually, it says so it's an additional $1.7 million to bring the total contract to $2.8 million.
Correct.
So that's more than $250,000 a year.
Yes, it is. We have the current contract had a value, but had a spending limit on it. The increase in value reflects the purchase replacement price of the entire inventory we have of the equipment, which is estimated about $1.6 million.
But do you actually have to buy everybody a new one? I mean, are you going to be training everybody again?
Yes, that's our intent.
I don't understand what the difference in operation would be.
Well, we have a policy that requires members when in uniform to carry the taser, and there are several instances a year where we take members who are not assigned primarily to patrol duties, but they are a parade or a large event. They're put into uniform and then required to carry the taser. And so we want to transition the entire organization over to the new model within a single training cycle.
But not all of them are not functioning. Some of them are still usable, right?
Yes, we still have inventory that is functioning.
And are there controls that different?
There are subtle differences between the two, and we want to avoid any confusion with members, and we think that a wholesale cutover to the new equipment makes the most sense from a training and deployment standpoint.
Do we currently have a policy that when an officer draws a taser that they have to fill out a report?
When they point a taser and use the laser tool to use, yes.
But not when they take it out of its holster?
No.
How about if they take their gun out of their holster?
If they point their firearm at a person, they have to write a report.
If they point their taser, do they?
Yes, if they turn it on, yes.
I'm a little concerned about buying a whole new set of equipment when it's not clear how often they're used and whether it's necessary. Is this new product better in terms of less lethal, less painful?
There are improvements. The new model is more durable. It's more waterproof. It offers for example, one model has two different targeting lasers, which allows us to increase accuracy so that we can ensure we're getting good hits. With the probes, trying to keep them at the belt line or lower. excuse me. And again, like I said, the current equipment isn't malfunctioning, but we are concerned about the training implications of maintaining multiple versions of the same piece of equipment over time that members may not be familiar with equipment. And so we think that a wholesale cutover makes the most sense.
What do we do with our old tasers?
The city has the option to declare them as surplus and dispose of them.
And then does the money come back into the police bureau's budget?
I think that's a decision for this body to make when that time comes.
But that would be what you would do? Because how many functioning tasers do we currently have?
I don't have the exact number. I believe it's going to be north of 700.
So it seemed like that would be a pretty good supply for a smaller police organization that they could have. Even though it's no longer maintained by the manufacturer, they could have some spares. And so is that something that you'll be looking at?
Yes, that's something we'll be looking at once, assuming this is approved, we would move forward with a strategy to dispose of the existing inventory.
Thank you.
Okay. Other questions for Captain Parman? Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Okay, this is an emergency ordinance. I'm ready to vote on this. Let's take a roll call then, please.
Fish?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
I don't like tasers. I don't like guns even more, though, so I'm willing to support this. Aye.
Tails?
I think there's been some good questions raised about how and how often we use these public safety tools of guns and tasers, and I totally agree with Commissioner Fritz's bias. I want our police bureau to be using force less and less. Unfortunately, that is the case. We are using force less and less. That's a trend that we need to continue. I'll certainly exercise some oversight about this contract like any other to make sure that we're not in any way contradicting that direction with the equipment that we purchase. Aye.